Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, taking your phone calls at 800-465-8770. We are live. This is hour number two, and we're continuing on the topic of protein and sarcopenia. Is there anything that you can do? Doubling up?
Yeah, sarcopenia is a tough case. With sarcopenia, you've got a lot of issues going on. And this is basically where the muscle mass is declining and the body is just not healing, repairing the autophagocytic process where the old cells are destroyed and replaced with healthy new cells has broken down. Wow. Okay. And so these people, if you don't do anything, will just slide downhill and die. The single best intervention that you can do without Longevity Medical Clinic is exercise. That's hard for a person with sarcopenia to do because they're losing their muscle mass and they're getting very weak and they get to the point they have trouble getting out of a chair, for goodness sakes. Mm. But exercise, again, kills some of the senescent cells. And if you can decrease that senescent cell load, you're better off. N-acetylcysteine is a supplement that we use to try to increase the activity within the mitochondria so that they get a little more energy. So we push them with N-acetylcysteine. We have to provide them with enough protein, but not so much that their ammonia levels go up. We have to try to convince them to go on the anabolic hormones, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, pregnenolone, male and female. They all need that. So we really need to get them on all, at least those basic three. We need to kick their thyroid function up so that their metabolism speeds up. So instead of a TSH up around 3, 4, 5, we want to get it down around 2. We want to push that metabolism some. In our clinic, of course, we would put them on a anti-senescent cell therapy. If they really want to go gangbusters, we'll give them intravenous exosomes and acellular vesicles from newborns, from the placentas of a newborn that is basically got the messenger RNA for a brand new human being that says grow, heal, repair.
Yes.
You know? So we want to raise their growth factors. We want to lower their senescent cell. We want to give them all of the anabolic hormone load that we possibly can to shift their metabolism towards muscle. And we want to get them in with a good coach that'll work with them on a regular basis to get their physical activity as high as we possibly can. Mm. That's basically how we approach, senescence. And if their acid in their stomach is too low, we may need to add some hydrochloric acid to their meals. We may need to add them proteases and digestive enzymes if their pancreas is pooping out, so that we can actually get them to digest their food more efficiently and get some nutrients in that they currently can't absorb. So once more, this is a very difficult problem. It's a problem that is going to kill them if we don't do something. So we need to pull out all the stops and go after it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that answers your question.
Yes, I hope that helps, Helmer.
Close as I can without actually doing the lab work and doing the doctor visits.
All right. Thank you, Homer, for that call. We are going to continue talking about senescent cells. We have a caller in Bellevue with a question or a follow-up. Hi there. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you. I hear you, and so do thousands of others. So
yes.
How can we help?
Now I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
So,
yeah.
we've been on your program for probably about 10 years, so uh-huh. We appreciate everything you're doing. I'm really calling for my husband because he's going to be having a major ankle surgery where they're going to be transferring tendons around, and uh-huh. It's kind of complicated and needs lots of healing. So we tried to put him on the Savinib. Is that pronounced wrong?
Dasatinib.
Yes. Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, he took it one day, and after that, he just couldn't tolerate it.
Okay.
And I was told that he was probably one of the only people that this has happened to. So I don't know what's wrong with him and why he's having this reaction. What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. First, they started him. Are you aware of the dose they started? Did they put him on the 100 milligrams a day?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You take it for 3 days. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. See, there are a small number of people that don't tolerate that big whack. And so we may have to drop them down to 25 for longer periods or to 50. You know, I have one of my doctors who wanted to take it and got really painful swelling of their face. When they took the 100. And so instead of doing 100 for 3 days, they decided to try 50 for 5 days, lower dose for a longer period of time. But it also depends on the symptom. You know, if they had a true allergy, you don't want to give them any. And so, you know, so what were the symptoms? What happened to him when he took it?
Just a terrible headache, couldn't function, couldn't think. I mean, not good at all. He says, I can't take this.
Yeah, well, and that would be reasonable. I mean, I wouldn't want it either. See, I get a bit of a headache with it. When I take it, the first day I'm fine. The second day I get kind of a headache and feel a little loggy. And the third day I'm just kind of bleh. I force myself to do my own stuff, but I really don't feel great on that third day. And then the fourth day I don't take it and I rebound and I'm perfectly great. So I understand. I have a similar sort of headachey malaise, but it's not bad. It's just a minor nuisance for me. But I'd be interested if he didn't, you know, he didn't have hives, he didn't have swelling, he didn't have anything that sounds like an allergy. I'd be inclined to have the compounding pharmacist make him a 25 milligram dose, 1/4 of the standard, see if he tolerates that.
Okay.
And if he tolerates that, then maybe move him up to 50 and see how he does there. There's going to be a threshold at which he stops tolerating it. Mm. But for some folks, the only way to find it is guessing by golly. We go real low and we work it up slowly and see what he does.
Yeah, the 100 definitely was not good for him.
Yep. Mm. Okay, well, like I said, I've seen that before, and I have a minor version of it myself, so.
Mm. is there an alternative besides that medication that would do the same thing?
Well, there are some experimental drugs, but that's the only FDA-approved drug that we have good literature for. The protocol that I use for that is actually designed at the Mayo Clinic. Mm. So I'm swiping the Mayo Clinic's protocol is what we're doing. The 50 milligrams for 5 days is actually from an East European study. I believe it was from Hungary. But there are other drugs that are being tested. but they're not approved by the FDA. So I can't really use them.
So I hear a lot about rapamycin. Is that coming soon?
Yeah, rapamycin is, you know, the drug is around. I can prescribe it today. That's not the problem. The problem is trying to find out what schedule to use and how to monitor it. And it's true, rapamycin decreases the production of senescent cells. It's not a senolytic like the dasatinib. Dasatinib is a drug we call a senolytic. It kills the senescent cells. The rapamycin slows the production, so you don't make as many senescent cells, so that your immune system is clearing them at a constant rate, and you start making them slower. So over time, over a period of several months, your senescent load should come down. That's the good news.
Yeah.
And in someone, when is a surgery scheduled for? Do you know?
Well, in about a month, and we were going to use the PRP with it. So we were trying to get the senescent cell down. So before the surgery, so the PRP works better, you know.
Yep. Well, and that's a perfectly reasonable thing. Who's his doctor at the clinic?
Well, we just got transferred to Pentland. Is that right?
Oh, Dr. Ken Pentland.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell you what. Give Dr. Pentland a call. Have him contact me about it. And let's see if maybe we can start him on some... on a low-dose rapamycin for a while, getting him ready for the surgery.
Yeah.
Again, I'm experimenting with the rapamycin. Rapamycin is very expensive, and I'm trying to find a generic version of it that does the job at a lower cost. And so I'm experimenting with a variety of generics right now. But with him, with the surgery coming up, we'd be best to go ahead and spring for the more the expensive brand name, assuming we're only going to use it, you know, once a week for the next 4 weeks to get him ready. So the bill wouldn't be outrageous because we wouldn't be on it all the time.
Would that be just do that and skip the senescent cell?
Well, this is kind of our workaround to try to lower his senescent cells. The other thing we can do is we can try a lower dose, but once more that, you know, we're experimenting. We know the rapamycin will lower it in a month. It won't lower it as low as the senescent cell therapy, but even if it cut it by 20 or 30%, that's an advantage over what he's got now.
Yes.
Would that help? The healing of the
every little bit helps.
The muscles and everything.
Every little bit helps. You know, I would love to knock those senescent cells down the way, you know, that I can with the big dose. But if I can't, I can't. You know, life doesn't always give us our optimal. We have to work with what we got.
Hmm. Yeah, tell me about it. Oh my gosh. So, we're even willing to delay the surgery if we can get better healing because his body just doesn't heal that fast. And
I understand.
So, you know, we're looking at everything. Yeah.
Well, it's what you've heard me say many times. Time and gravity are the twin bitches of the universe. You know, they do it to us.
So I did talk to my doctor and. I asked him to ask you, but I don't know if it's happened or not. And we're going to see him on Thursday.
Okay. But let's get it started early in the week. And so, you know, call. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to our website, lmclinic.com. Okay. Go to contact us. Okay. Describe a little bit about, you know, what we've talked about and where your hubby is.
Yeah, the ankle surgery will probably jar your memory there. Yeah.
And that way, send that off. We can send it off this weekend. They'll forward it to me on Monday. And that'll jog my memory to talk to Dr. Pendlin And we'll get this going for you, okay?
Appreciate that so much. Thank you.
All right. Hey, yes. That's what I'm here for.
There you go.
Okay, my dear. Take care.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Now, for the rest of you listeners out there, this is what happens at Longevity Medical Clinic.
Absolutely. You know? You've got a problem, you talk to your doctor.
You've got a problem, you talk to your doctor. If your doctor can't solve the problem, he talks to me. And if I can't solve the problem, well, I tap God on the shoulder and say, hey,
help me out here.
Help me out here because I'm stuck.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to talk more about Longevity Medical Clinic and what it can do for you, even if you are not a member like our last caller for the last 10 years. We'd love to have you be a part of Longevity Medical and get answers to your questions and get healthy and get leaner, stronger, faster, smarter, sexier,
and happier.
We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And Rick, your call is next. Here's the number if you'd like to get through. Phone lines are wide open right now at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Okay, you play the air guitar, I'll do the air drums.
All right. Oh, yes. I love that.
Oh, welcome back. I'm Lynette. Dr. Jerry Mixon and the band in the studio.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, we got, I don't know when we're going to get it. Probably sometime this summer, we have to do a whole permitting process with the city of Kirkland again.
Okay.
But I want to turn this little studio into a much bigger audiovisual studio so that we can actually have cameras so people can see us doing our show. And,
okay.
You know, and that way when Samara is up dancing and shaking her bangles,
they can see it. Yes.
So.
And me on my air drums and you on your air guitars. So
that's right. We'll be fine.
We'll be good. Yes, absolutely. Well, this is Leading Edge Medicine. Here is that number to get through, 800-465-8770, with your calls, your questions, your concerns. And we have Rick right now on the line calling in from Kirkland. Hi there, Rick.
Welcome. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Dr. Mixon. This afternoon, my wife and I are going to be visiting her 90-year-old mother, who seems to have lost her will to live. She stopped eating and drinking for the last week or so. She has no medical issues other than early stages of dementia.
Yeah. She just decided
and,
to die.
And she's married, 89-year-old husband, and she lives in an assisted living facility. She has many children and grandchildren living nearby who are part of her life. She just seems to have given up on life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, but I'm curious if you do.
Aw, you mentioned dementia.
Yeah, early dementia.
Early dementia, yeah. Okay.
And early. The problem with very early dementia is people know it. They're not so demented that they don't know they're demented.
They know something's happening.
They know something's wrong.
Okay.
And that's that situation where I understand people don't want to continue losing their mind and sliding downhill. Mm. Yeah. I'm trying to remember, who was the comedian that he played Peter Pan?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Robin Williams had a familial form of a progressive dementia. And he knew he was losing it, and he knew his diagnosis, and he knew he was going to totally lose his mind before he died, and so he decided to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And my philosophy is, if you don't own yourself, you don't own anything in this world. And so I can't argue with the guy. I think if I had that diagnosis and I was sliding down and knew I was going to go mad before I died, I'd want to check out early.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know some of our listeners are fundamentalist Christians who say that's a terrible sin, but you know, I'm sorry, but I...
Until you are there and understand...
Yeah, I understand what's going on with these people. You know, my entire life, my entire professional life, I have lived with birth and death.
Yes.
I have been privileged to be the first human to touch hundreds of brand new children coming into this world. And I love that feeling to cuddle and hold a brand new baby and carry it, you know, to the other end of the table and hand it to its mother.
Oh, yes. And on the other side,
but I have also sat with hundreds of people that are leaving this earth, that are dying.
And you've been the last one.
And sometimes I've been the only one there to hold their hand or give them a hug as they died. You know, so I'm well aware that life and death are the two ends of the spectrum. We're all going there. We've all done the first. We're all going to do the second. And the idea is to go out with as much dignity and love and caring as you possibly can. I can't help people that don't want to be helped. You know, if she wanted our help, I would do everything I could to improve her mood and, you know, and stave off that impending dementia as long as we possibly can. But when someone has made that final decision to go, they go. And the only chance you've got of turning that around is love. To with hugs and touching and spending time and trying to, you know, to help her regain some joy in life, because it's the joy in life that gets us up every day.
Yes.
You know, I feel so sorry for these people that go through life unhappy and depressed and, you know, God, I love my life. I have Christian friends who think I'm a bit of a heathen because I don't share their particular version of reality, but I talk to God every day, several times a day. But my 99.9% of my prayer is simply thank you, thank you, thank you, because
that's the first step, Dr.
Mason. My life is so wonderful, and I am so grateful for what He's done for me that for me to ask for anything else would be greed. I've got more than I deserve by a long shot. I don't dare ask for more. You know? I am so grateful for all that I have been given and that I've been allowed to do and I'm still being allowed to do. And so all I can suggest, medicine is not the answer for her.
That's not going to work.
You know, and you don't want to dump antidepressants in this poor 91-year-old body that can't metabolize them worth a hoot. She needs love and touching and hugs and smiles and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to sit on her lap and talk to her and try to see if we can bring enough joy back into her life that she wants to continue her life. I think that's about the closest I can come as an old family doctor.
And make sure to, you know, to get those pictures of her hugs.
Yes.
Hugging her daughter, your wife, and the grandkids.
And the grandkids and the great-grandkids.
Those are some sweet memories that she is going to have and that you will have.
I remember when my mother died shortly before her 91st birthday. She was 90. And she had 5 tumors in her brain. And she was sliding downhill and was progressively losing it. And, you know, she went on hospice care. And I remember when my mother died, you know, I crawled up on the bed with her. They called me to tell me that she was going soon. And I went over and held her, you know, and put my cheek against hers. And I don't know if she knew I was there, but I knew I was there.
Oh, you know? Yes.
And she died cheek to cheek with a son who loved her, who knew that she was loved and cared for. And sometimes that's all I can offer.
Yes. And that's a big thing. That is a big thing.
I hope the call.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Take care, sir. Wow. We'll be thinking of you. Okay. We're not ready to go to a break yet, so we'll take another call.
Okay.
How about that?
Let's do it.
Let's go now to John. Hi there, John, and welcome to Leading Edge. Good morning. How can we help?
John. Turn off the radio and pick up the phone.
There we go. Okay. Let's see if we can hang on for John if he's still there. Maybe he walked out of the room for a moment. Okay.
Do you want to We have another call waiting?
We don't have another call waiting. John is our next one, 800-465-8770. If you'd like to get in with your phone call, that's 800-465-8770. And John wanted to talk about masks and virus safety right now. That was his biggest concern. So okay. I know you love those masks, especially the ones you get at Old Navy that, you know, match your outfit.
Well, I love the one that I saw that a waitress was wearing once upon a time. It was chain mail.
Oh, okay.
It was
metal links. Mesh. Okay.
Yeah, but you could see through it.
And it,
those viruses would have to be half an inch in diameter to get stuck in that mask.
Okay.
But she was wearing a mask.
She had a mask on. Oh, boy.
So what the hell? Yeah. The Cochrane database is probably the most respected of the peer-reviewed journals that look for objective evidence of effectiveness. And they have done probably the most comprehensive review of masks and viral incidents, specifically COVID incidents, on planet Earth. Mm. They've looked at studies from all over the world, and they've come down with the final conclusion that there is no evidence that the masks had any effect on infection rates anywhere on planet Earth.
Okay. Because, you know, everybody had those cute cloth masks that matched their outfits.
Yes.
That they were bleaching every single night.
Yeah, well.
To make sure, no, they were not.
No, and
in their purse
besides,
for the whole
they,
month. Yeah,
and if they did bleach, they stopped being cute.
No.
The N95 masks, if they are worn properly, that is, they are properly fitted to your face, tight across the nose and cheeks, and they are changed 3 to 4 times per day.
Per day.
And washing your hands vigorously and frequently, you may have a significant reduction in viral infections.
Okay.
But that kind of mask treatment only happens in acute care hospitals.
Yes. Okay.
In the emergency room where the doctors, the nurses, and the technicians change their mask 2 and 3 times every shift. Then they may have some effect. But masks for the general public, our best data is it has zero impact on when you get infected or not.
That's right.
That's just all there is to it. So the masks were a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
They were adopted, and once politicians say something, they're afraid to change their mind, you know?
Yes, yes.
And the early thought of the masks was that COVID was probably spread the same way influenza was, with relatively large droplets and surface connections, where you would touch something that had the active virus on it, and then you'd touch your nose, your mouth, or your eyes, and you'd get infected.
Mm.
It turns out that it is not a droplet virus. It is spread by aerosols that are so small, they go through the standard masks without even slowing down. They get in the air conditioning and the heating systems, and they pump throughout the air in the building. And the number one factor as to whether you got infected or not was how long you were inside in a closed-in building. And, of course, in the summer and winter, you close the doors and the windows because of the air conditioning.
Yep.
And in the winter, you close the doors and windows because of the heating. And so the virus just circulates in the air circulation system. And your masks and your social distancing have no impact whatsoever.
Wow.
Totally worthless.
There you go. All right. So hopefully our caller got some information there.
Yes.
The phone lines were disconnected. They're trying to reboot those.
They're trying
to
reconnect them. Okay. So if you can't get through, keep trying.
Yep.
They will get the phones fixed again, I hope.
There we go.
They'll
reboot that. We'll take a quick break.
Mr. Inslee, please let us get the hell out of our masks.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
And then let's all send them to him. Okay, 800-465-8770 is that number to call. If you don't get through, try again. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, Paula. I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula. No one else.
Yeah. Oh, welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine with you. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. We're trying to get those phone lines figured out. 800-465-8770 is that number to call. Again, that's 800-465-8770. If you get a busy signal or a dropped call, please try. And we've got our engineer on that.
We are live today. We are waiting for your calls. But for some reason, the studio's phone system
Not working right now. So let's talk about longevity. We've been talking with some of our patients, actually, who have called in and had some questions answered as they're going through different things. Longevity Medical has been around for 25 years.
Started it in 1998.
Yes.
So I guess this is the...
This big celebration. I love this story, Dr. Mixon, that you share about the little 98 years old, something like that, that came in. And what can you do for me, doctor?
It was a wonderful story for me. This was back when I was first starting the clinic.
Yes, one of your first patients.
Yeah, and this was a 98 year old who struggled into the office on a walker and could barely get around. It took her minutes just to get across the exam room.
Aww.
And I could tell by her dress, you know, her clothing, her shoes and so on. She was not a lady of wealth. She was a very modest means.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 98 years old. And she started off wrong by fibbing to me. She told me she was only 93.
Oh boy.
But, you know, I saw her birth date. I knew how old she really was. And I had to tell her that, you know, my MD stands for minor deity.
So, so I know.
Lying to me is a sin, but I will forgive her, but only the once, you know. I was very hesitant to treat her because I had never treated a 98-year-old who could barely move.
Yeah, you said her feet were like cement blocks. Yes. Must have been whole. She could barely move them.
And so, and I told her that. You know, I said, "Ma'am, I don't want to take your money if I can't help you, and I'm not at all sure I can help you." And I loved her answer though. She said, "Doctor, I'm dying. I feel like I'm encased in concrete. I can barely move." Said, when I die, someone else is going to spend whatever little I've got. So why don't I spend it to see if you can help me? And I thought, you know, how do I argue with that?
There you go.
Now this was early in the clinic, and did everything I could to minimize her expenses. But we hit her pretty hard. And it turns out in about 6 or 8 months, we got her off the walker.
Yes.
In less than a year, I had her walking the local high school track twice a day for exercise. So she was walking half a mile a day without a walker or a cane.
By now she's 99.
Yep.
Okay.
And then she started going and visiting the grandkids. She went back to the mall to go shopping.
Oh, boy.
The year before she saw me, she was hospitalized 5 times with her failing heart.
Wow.
The first year with her treatment, she was hospitalized 3 times. The next year, 1 time.
Wow. Wow.
So
you can see a trend.
Her cardiac function was improving.
Mm.
When she was 101, she came in and bragged that she had just mowed her lawn. And gave me palpitations because the idea of a 101-year-old woman mowing a lawn just scares the bejabbers out of me. I told her that I hoped it was a very small lawn and she used one of those mowers that pulled her so she didn't have to push it. But she was proud as punch.
Oh, I bet.
She died at 103, but...
That's 5 extra years.
We bought her an extra 5 years, and she enjoyed most of it. She got some life back. Instead of being housebound and barely able to move and feeling that she was on her way out, we got her up and around and to the, you know, to the mall and to the grandkids and great-grandkids. And so, yes, the patient died, and I considered it a great success at the same time. Because we bought her that 5 years of joy.
Yes.
And, you know, you take what you can get in life.
Mm-hmm.
I do medicine, not magic. I can't, you know, change the way the universe is structured. I have to work within the bounds of what human physiology and pharmacology permit. But I do the best I can. And it's usually pretty darn good.
That was good. Hey, that gave her so much, so much back, and exactly what she wanted, moving and living, really living.
But see,
her
the
life.
Difference in her and that lady that that the caller talked about,
yes,
you know,
for
that,
his mother-in-law.
That had kind of given up on life, she wanted to be helped.
Yes.
You know, she did not want to go quietly into that good night. She, you know, she wanted to rage against the coming of the night. I'm not in favor of rage. It's kind of a destructive emotion, but I do want people to do as much as they can, as long as they can. And yeah, it makes me sad when people give up, because frequently if they're willing to work with us, we can make their life better.
Yes.
And that's what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about, is making people's lives better. I mean, when I say stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier, yes, that's those are the end points. But generally, better.
Yes.
Wherever you are now, we can usually make your life better.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. I don't want you to slide downhill and die on schedule. Yeah. So.
Okay. Hearing from the engineer here that the phone lines are not working for getting phone calls in. However, they can text. The text line is working.
The text line is open. Okay. What is the text line, folks?
And you know what? That's the same as our regular number. That makes it easy. So if you have a text question, please text it in. And hey, this is a great opportunity if you want to change your name and be anonymous.
That's right.
You can do that. Hey, I'm Bill from Seattle, and here is my question. We'll try to do some of those before the end of the show.
Text it on over.
There you go.
I don't know. Note to KTTH management, pay your phone bill next time.
800-465-8770 is that number to text your question. You don't have to be fancy about it. We'll see what we can do with you for the next remaining 19 minutes of the show. But we were talking about longevity and the medical clinic. And we still offer that free health analysis appointment, which is so good, because what it does is it gets you into the building. And so many people, once they're here, they're like, wow. When people came for the gallery tests, they were not longevity patients. And so we offered it to people that had been saying, hey, can you do this test for family and friends? Yes. And did that in Kirkland and Tacoma. And of course, we'll probably do something like that again.
I'm already thinking which tests I want to run.
Oh, good. Yes, oh, good. Yeah, so. But people would come in and go, wow, this is a beautiful facility, meeting our staff. And it kind of takes away some of that nervousness that you might have. Going to get answers from a doctor.
I think you've overstated the comment, beautiful facility. It's okay. It's okay.
No, but people have said, I love your facility. It's beautiful.
I know they've said that.
I think they're talking about Dr. UMAT, you know.
Yeah, right.
All the wonderful
We have two very handsome young men at the front desk these days.
Yes, you do.
And so,
and they're wonderful.
So, you know, the older ladies come in and they like our hot young men at the desk. But
they're wonderful.
But, you know, reality is I'm building a much nicer facility.
Okay. Getting even bigger and better.
I was actually hoping to be in the new facility last October.
That's right.
You know, because I started this process last February.
A year ago.
13 months ago. And I was trying to get this new facility built. And we've had permitting issues and, you know, all kinds of stuff. We finally got the permits.
Wonderful.
But now the people that are in it currently have to move out.
Oh, boy.
And they're trying to finish the permitting of the space they're moving to.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So it's now looking like, you know, instead of last October, it's probably, I don't know, June, July of this year.
Okay.
I'm so frustrated. Anyway, but it's going to be a beautiful new 6,300 square foot facility. I've got gorgeous high-end finishes. I mean, it's going to be neat. So I'm really hoping that we can get this thing open as quickly as possible and move our patients into a fancier sort of office.
And we can get to more people more often with
more
our
space.
Our
I have room for more doctors.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
And we have room for you, and we would love to have you come for that free health analysis appointment. Then, hey, you'll be ready to maybe perhaps be coming to our new facility.
That's
that
right.
will be in Kirkland, perhaps?
It'll be in Kirkland. In fact,
right.
it's right upstairs from my headquarters.
Okay.
Offices. So, yeah.
Oh,
so instead of having to get in the car and drive over when there's an issue, I can just walk upstairs.
There you go. Yeah. Some people would take the elevator. Dr. Mixon will walk up.
I'd rather walk.
Or you know, yeah. go down the fire escape and then go back up.
If I reach the stage that I have to use the elevator, golly gee, I'll be unhappy.
Okay. Anyway. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we have some texting coming in with some questions. So, all right, stay right there. We're going to get to that first text in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine, always being flexible. And we will do what we need to do to answer your questions. If you've got a question, you can now text us, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Text your question, and Dr. Mixon will be right back in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Medicine and four texts already.
And only 15 minutes to answer
them. That's right. So
okay,
we'll jump
right in.
Okay,
so we're going to zoom along. Although, that song.
Yes.
How the hell does he do that falsetto? I can't get that high. My vocal cords will not come close to that
Maybe
sound.
Maybe when you were seven?
Maybe when I was three.
And
I
stepped on a Lego.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. But I'll be your love to the end of time.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't promise to the end of time. But what I have promised my life, my wife, is I will love her as long as I am alive. And if God is kind, I'll get to love her beyond that.
Yes.
But we'll see.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to start with the texting questions. But if for some reason we don't get to all of them, of course, we have another show starting at 10 o'clock. We can get to some of those questions at the beginning of
just
that show.
Go to our website and look it up and see where we're at next.
Okay.
Okay.
That. All right. So the first texter from a Seattle number.
What is it?
Has eczema on her face, next to her eye. Anything she can do about that eczema near her eye?
Okay, yeah. Back in the bad old days, for most of my medical practice, we offered, steroid creams. But you don't want to use steroid creams, especially the potent ones, on the face, because you can end up with thinning of the skin and stria that looks like stretch marks. So we avoid that. There is a new drug that has been approved by the FDA specifically, and it's abrocitinib is the chemical. Oddly enough, I can say the actual chemical, abrocitinib. I can't say the brand name.
Oh, okay.
It's C-I-B-I-N-Q-O. I have no idea how you'd say C-I-B-I-N-Q-O.
Sibinko.
I have not. Yeah. Abrocitinib, I can say.
I
can read the chemicals.
Okay. So it's a new eczema cream.
Yeah. Almost everybody, 90%+ of the people get at least 75% clearing of the rash, of the redness and the irritation and the scaling and stuff. So the symptoms are improved in almost everybody. Nothing done by two or by humans is perfect. So there are going to be some people it fails in.
Okay.
But the vast majority of folks get significant clearing. And downside, it is an immune modifier. It lowers your resistance to infections. So if you have an active infection of any kind, they can't give you the drug.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you're exposed to things like TB, they can't give you the drug. If you get infected, you have to stop the drug.
Okay.
So it is an immune modulator. It decreases your resistance. So there is that caution. But, if you're in reasonably otherwise in good health, there's a good chance your doctor will write it for you.
Okay. And that medicine, again, for the eczema?
The brand name, you had to write this down, caller.
Yes.
C-I-B-I-N-Q-O, ask your doctor about it. Or if you really want to make his eyebrows raise, use the actual chemical name for it, which is abrocitinib.
Okay. There you go. Amaze your doctor. Hopefully that is helpful for you, caller. All right, going to text number two, we have Daniel in Arlington. Neuropathy in the feet, what can we do?
Bad problem.
About the neuropathy in the feet.
Okay. Depends on why you have the neuropathy.
Okay.
The single most common cause of peripheral neuropathy, numbness, tingling, altered sensation, sometimes pain in the feet, ankles, lower legs, is diabetes.
Okay.
And it's triggered by the damage to the microcirculation. Those tiny, tiny arteries, those blood vessels that are so small that the red blood cells have to go through in single file.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Those vessels are damaged very, very early. And in fact, we'll often see the paresthesias, the altered sensation in the feet, 10 years before the diabetes shows up. So people say, well, the most common cause is diabetes, but I don't have diabetes. No, but you may be in
that
route to it.
That might be down the road, yes.
Yeah, you may be headed that way. And so what we do in our clinic is if we get a patient that's got that, we run studies to look at their insulin resistance.
Okay.
To find out how well their body is responding to the insulin that the pancreas produces and how much insulin does their pancreas produce. If we can correct the insulin resistance and lower the insulin levels as well as the sugars, we can often get some improvement in that peripheral neuropathy. Other cause, nerve traumas, damage, scarring around a nerve, old injuries, infections can do it. There are genetic disorders that can do it. I actually have a genome that codes for peripheral neuropathy.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got some altered sensation in my feet and toes that just came because of the way the good Lord made me.
Okay.
But here's the interesting thing. When I went on the rapamycin, it started improving.
Wow.
And
okay.
It is probably two-thirds towards well. Where it started when I went on the rapamycin to now, over the last 6 months or so, it's resolving. It's getting better.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it'll completely go away, because when I look in the literature, I don't see anything about peripheral neuropathy being improved with rapamycin.
Wow.
It just doesn't. Nobody seems to have done a study or reported it. But it's happening to me.
Okay.
And I'm presuming that since it started clearing about a month or 6 weeks after I started the rapamycin, that's what's doing it. Because it was getting progressively worse and worse and worse. And now on the rapamycin, it's getting better and better and better.
Wow. Okay.
So maybe.
All right. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's
one of those things. Can I swear that it's going to help for anybody else? No, because I'm the only person I know that has gone on rapamycin and reported this.
Okay. This is good.
So
hopefully that will help you too, Daniel.
And is it a combination of the rapamycin and all the other stuff I'm doing?
Right.
You know, would the rapamycin not have done it? Were I not on all the growth factors and the hormone balancing and all the other stuff that I do for me.
Okay.
It may be a synergistic impact from the multiple things I'm doing at Longevity plus the rapamycin.
Okay.
I don't know.
And you're still waiting to see, using yourself as a
guinea pig here. Yeah, and as I come across a version of the generic rapamycin that is affordable. And that's my big thing. I can put my patients on rapamycin now, but all I really know that's going to work is the very, very high price branded version. The generics, okay. I have not yet found one that I can get decent blood levels with.
All right.
Okay. So, but, you know, we get that. If I get, 1,000 people on rapamycin and some of them have paresthesia, maybe we'll see that it does improve.
Yes.
Maybe not. We'll see.
It's in the works. All right. I'm going to quickly go to texter number three here. We have Shelley. First of all, she wants to say thank you, Dr. Mixon, for the gallery test. She did it and was very grateful for the opportunity that you gave her. So
great.
That's the first thing she wanted to say. Thank you, Shelley, for mentioning that. Her question is, is there a progesterone patch or cream for women? She is on the estradiol patch and taking
norethindrone tablets every day with that. I'm not sure I pronounced that right. And she would like to take progesterone transdermally.
Yeah, real progesterone instead of the norethindrone.
Yeah, and her doctor's saying not available for women. What do you think, Dr. Mixon?
It's not.
Okay.
Well, we actually can have it custom compounded.
Okay.
But you don't absorb progesterone very well through the skin. On the other hand, we can use progesterone on your face, on your neck, in the vaginal mucosa, and you'll absorb some. So you can get some progesterone effect through the skin with a custom compounded form. You just have to be able to tell the compounding pharmacy what base you want it in, what concentration of estrogens. And then you need to measure your estrogen levels periodically to see if you're getting it in your target range. Okay. The nice thing about topical progesterone, though, is that, and I love it for women on their faces and their necks, and I put it on my face and neck, because over a 3 to 6 month period, it will make the skin on your face and neck thicker and more elastic and smooth out a lot of your fine wrinkles and give you much prettier skin texture. Okay. And being just as vain as any woman, I want pretty skin on my face and neck.
And I am looking at Dr. Mixon every weekend, and he has beautiful skin. So there you go.
Yeah, and so
I can attest to that.
Yeah, so even though I may not absorb a lot of it into my bloodstream, the cosmetic effect of the progesterone on my skin is a benefit. I do absorb it. I keep my level in a fairly robust range for a man. So yes, we can custom compound it. And if that's not enough, we can give you a micronized pill. Now, I generally don't like hormones by mouth, but a micronized progesterone capsule can raise your blood levels significantly.
All right. Okay. Very good. I think that's a good one. And we've got 3 minutes left. Let's dive into the last question here.
Okay.
Okay. My question is this. Played a lot of pickleball. I'm 67 years old. Tore the meniscus, a white zone torn meniscus.
Okay.
Orthopedist recommends a knee replacement, but I'm hard-headed and believe that I can heal from most anything. It's been about 6 months, and I think I'm about 60% recovered.
Okay. Go see Dr. Daniel Nelson.
Okay,
Dan Nelson is a pain specialist, and he does really good stem cell and PRP work.
Okay.
You know, he'll do a great evaluation. He'll tell you how bad your tears are, how well they're healing. He'll look at your old MRIs and your new MRIs. And then if my knee were giving me grief, I would have Dan attack it with my own stem cells. Nothing that you bought at the store, nothing that came prepackaged and frozen. Take it out of my iliac crest, spin it down, isolate the stem cells, give me my own stem cells in my own knee, mix it with PRP out of my venous blood, and because that contains 9 growth factors that you can put into those ligaments and tendons, and kick them into high gear and let them heal.
All right. And for the other problems, they talk about arthritic pain in hip and knee. That may also be helpful there. Dr. Dan Nelson is located at Pro Ortho. His number is 425-823-4000 to get a hold of Dr. Dan Nelson at Pro Ortho. And we're going to try to catch the rest of these text messages on our next program that we start
we'll
at 10
start
o'clock. Okay. We'll be back next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.